Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy, and you're talking really fast.
Was I?
Yes.
You're welcome.
Feel like I was at NASCAR.
Well, we were trying to get ready to, and I've talked about this like for the last 15 episodes, but it feels that long anyway. I've had bronchitis, and I was trying to get ready. I was like, we're going to record now, and then I had to blow my nose for like 30 minutes.
It was really long, y'all.
And hack forever. And I kept walking back in the room like, I'm ready. And no, then I'd have to go back and do it again. And even when I sat down, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not even gonna try to blow my nose anymore. I'm just going to sit down, sound nasally, and we're going to record. Because if we don't, we'll never get it done. So here we are. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. So how are you today, Boo?
Wonderful. Other than your hacking and...
I'm sorry. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. So where are we going?
We are going to Blackstone, Massachusetts.
I've never heard of it, but I like the name.
It's about like 33 miles away from Boston.
So is it suburb or is it just a little bit outside of that?
Isn't a suburb a little bit outside? 30 minutes.
I think it depends on the area, and I don't necessarily know that our
suburbs.
Right, because we are, what? Ugh. Well, I guess we're about a 30-minute drive from downtown Dallas.
Yeah, you're thinking of with traffic. If there's no traffic, it's about 20, 30 minutes. But if you add that traffic...
Only if I'm driving. That was unexpected.
That's my response.
That is your response. I see that. Okay, well, I guess you won that argument, and we'll just move on. So, yes, it's apparently a suburb of Boston.
It's 33 miles from Boston. Suburb or another city, I don't know.
And even if we're wrong, now we're right, because Amy burped at me. And so, there it is. Yeah. So, okay, cool. So, we're going to a suburb of Boston.
Correct.
Called Black Rock?
Stone.
Black Rock Stone. Okay. Excellent. And today, a lot of times we have amazing breweries that send us things while we're in that area. And it's amazing. But today, we didn't have that. So we're going with something you've probably all heard of. And if you haven't, you should probably crawl out from under your Black Rock.
Your Black Stone.
Damn it. I was so close. Okay. So we're going to be trying the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. I'm sure you've all heard of Samuel Adams. I mean, you can buy it in any freaking store.
Well, and hence why we're drinking it. It's the only beer from Massachusetts we can get here in Texas. So,
well, and it makes me laugh because, like, I remember a day whenever beer was just beer. It was beer-flavored beer. And
hey, Dennis Leary.
Well, that's where I was going. Dennis Leary has, like, this whole rant about it, but... No, I don't want, what was it, pumpkin nut crunch ale or some shit like that.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. I don't disagree, but don't spit your drink out. But yeah, we went with the Oktoberfest because one of the ones was pumpkin, I think, flavored.
Yeah, and you didn't want to do that one, so we did Oktoberfest.
But I remember when Samuel Adams just had the Boston Lager.
Oh, I drank it in Boston.
I remember when Shiner Bock was just the fucking Shiner Bock. It was just the Bock. You know, now they've got winter solstice sledding down a hill and building a snowman ale.
That's a really long beer name. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I'm just saying. So we're going to try their Oktoberfest today.
The Rocktoberfest, huh?
I said October.
Oh, it totally sounded like you said Rocktoberfest.
But it's Black Rocktober.
Blackstone.
It's stone. I know.
Okay,
I know.
But
it's too late now, though.
While you're attempting.
Well, these are not twist tops.
Yeah, I was about to say, while you're attempting to get that open. I have to give some credit to our friend our friend Jim.
Jim the Amigo.
He requested this case a long time ago, but he didn't have a suggestion for a beer. He actually suggested a whiskey, but it was from Tennessee, and I actually did a whole case for that whiskey and just found out today that we can't get that whiskey here. So
sad face.
So sorry, Jim, we won't be featuring your whiskey, but I do have a second case because of you. We'll be doing George Dickel instead of your whiskey, so hopefully you like that one.
And we've been to George Dickel, and I was surprised because, like, to me, I never really drank a lot of George Dickel, so to me, I didn't think of him as like a really good whiskey place. But when we went on the tour and we got lucky, we were the only people that showed up, so we got a personal tour of the entire distillery.
And we'll tell you more about that.
Yes, we'll tell you. Okay, yeah, I'll shut up now and not ruin it. But we also want to give a shout out to Jim. He is the voice of, and he is Boots and Whiskey Podcast.
Yes.
So, you know, we got to give a little love to our fellow podcasters, and we love him. He's always one of the first one or two people to pop on and listen to our episodes. We can see where you people are. We stalk you.
Some of you are sneaky and we can't tell.
Yeah. But yeah, if you get a chance, go check out his podcast for sure. Especially if you like, it's mostly country music based, but they do whiskey. Yep. So go check him out. It's a lot of fun. So
this one is for you, Jim.
Yep. So, let's try this Oktoberfest. Cheers.
It tastes like an Oktoberfest. Oh, it's 5.3 ABV, y'all. Sorry, forgot.
You're welcome. You know, I hate to say it. I feel like all these other craft breweries just do better.
Well, Sam Adams isn't a craft brewery anymore.
It's not terrible. It's not my favorite, I'm going to be honest.
But we can get it in Texas.
True. Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, like, all the Boston people are like, what the fuck? But I guarantee you, Boston people, look around your area. I guarantee you there's a little microbrewery somewhere with a better Oktoberfest than this one.
Although the Boston Lager, I will still stand by that one.
The Boston Lager is good. Yes. Yeah.
After we went to Boston for a long time, that's what I would order at the bar.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to stick with what you're good at, you know? I don't know, but
it's not bad. I mean, I've definitely had worse beer.
I'm going to drink it. It's not terrible. I give it a 4.25. 4.5.
Let's see if I've ever... What do you think? I'm going to go for wherever my finger goes.
2.5. That's 2.5. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Let's see. I would be shocked if I haven't already rated this one. Let's see. Oh, nope. Apparently it was my first check-in on that one. That shocks me.
I actually think our local breweries have way better Oktoberfests. I
would agree with that.
I've had several of our local breweries Oktoberfests, and they are really good. So,
well, whatever. At least Sam Adams unlocked me some badges.
Okay, so if you didn't hear the last episode, she went 3 beers in a row with no badges. And then on the last one, she got 1. And I was like, okay, the next one you've got to get. So you got 3. So
I got 3. It's still, I don't know.
From the app that shall not be named until we're sponsored.
So.
That I still haven't emailed.
I got Cheers to Independent U.S. Craft Breweries Level 37. Middle of the Road, level 32, and Land of the Free, level 56.
Very nice. Okay. Well, very good. So we know where we're going. We've got our Samuel Adams Oktoberfest.
Yes.
We ready to jump into this case?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, like I said, Blackstone is pretty close to Boston. It's also pretty close to the Massachusetts border and is considered to be pretty small. It actually has less than 10,000 residents.
So it's a small suburb.
Yeah. The House of Horrors is what we're talking about today. The Blackstone House of Horrors was discovered on August 28, 2014. And as police began investigating, things just seemed to get worse and worse. They actually found the bodies of 3 babies in the home.
What? Babies?
Babies.
Oh, I don't like you today.
Well, don't like Jim. He's the one that requested this case.
Jim, what are you doing to me?
Erica Murphy, lived in the home with her boyfriend and four living children. The children were 13, 10, 5, and 3.
Okay, so if I don't know this case, then I've heard a very similar case, but I may know this one, so go ahead.
I had not heard of it until Jim messaged me and was like, you gotta check this one out.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean you haven't heard of it. According to some people, the 13-year-old and the 10-year-old were the ones who actually took care of the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old.
Okay. Which, so the mom really didn't do much then?
And neither did her boyfriend.
Gotcha.
So the older two children, again, the 13 and the 10-year-old, had been born in hospitals and did attend school. But the lives of these four children were described as the lives of children who were unwanted. Or, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The older two children were the wanted, and the younger two children were the unwanted.
Okay.
Is how it was described. Upon searching the home, police found family photos that actually reflected this. The family photos only showed the other two children and not the younger two children. There was no photos of the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old anywhere.
That's fucked up.
According to authorities, it was a 10-year-old boy who let authorities know that something might be happening at the home. The 10-year-old boy was a neighbor's son who called his mom and said they couldn't get the baby to stop crying.
Like him and the other kids were trying to get the baby to stop crying? Right.
So there's a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old that live in the Murphy home.
And they're taking care of the baby and the 5-year-old, right?
And the 10-year-old, yes. The 10-year-old has a friend over there and he calls his mom because the 13-year-old, the 10-year-old, and his friend are watching the kid. And so he calls his mom. We can't get this baby to stop crying. The mother of this boy, and this is a little confusing because all of the kids are unnamed because they're
minors. Yeah, right.
But the mother of this boy said that her son often played with Erica's son, but usually at their house, not at Erica's house.
Right.
So this boy's mom went over to Erica's house to try to help them calm this baby down. And that's when the horrors of the Blackstone House of Horrors were discovered.
Oh, shit.
The friend's mother said that Erica's son, Erica's 10-year-old, was at her house pretty frequently. And it was pretty obvious to her that he didn't have the best upbringing, but she didn't expect to find what she found when she got to the house. Like, she said she fed him almost every day because he wasn't eating at home.
So she knew mom wasn't really, like, doing her job and taking care of her kids. So she was kind of...
she was kind of stepping in.
Yeah.
But she even went on to say that she didn't even know there were any babies in the neighborhood. But when her son called her, she went over anyway. And when she did, she walked into the house and she could hear babies crying.
Babies, plural.
Babies, plural, is what she said, yes.
Oh.
She also said that the house smelled terrible. She said the smell was so bad that she immediately doubled over, thinking she was going to vomit, but instead started dry heaving.
So if you haven't already figured out where this is going, I'll just go ahead and insert a trigger warning here, even though I don't know. I feel like we're gonna just have to trigger warning on this one. Yeah. If this ain't your thing, you can bail out and catch us next time. Anyway, sorry, continue.
So, she said it was very clear that the children who were there were very distressed and went on to say that you couldn't see the floor of the home at all.
Like a hoarding situation or just not cleaning type thing?
Both. Like, okay. Feces and...
Oh, yeah. God. Okay, yeah.
Sheets and blankets were covering the windows and... in an attempt to keep the home dark. Like I said earlier, she didn't even know that the younger two existed. She apparently had asked Erica why she left her children alone. Apparently she did this frequently.
And so she had asked her previous to all of this. Okay.
And Erica said, she's, I only left them alone for a few hours. Because in her head, 13-year-old can take care of 5-year-old and 3-year-old. And like on a, every once in a while occasion, like we let our 13-year-old babysit our younger ones.
In a babysitting situation where we went out to like dinner for an hour. Exactly. Yeah, like not, yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and when you're doing
I would not frequently leave them for hours on end.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So the friend's mother obviously called police. And part of her 911 call, I was able to find, the call said there are babies in the house and they are covered in feces and urine.
The babies were covered in feces and urine.
Yes.
Did they have animals?
They were covered in their own feces and urine.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And this woman, the friend's mother had to force her way in to be able to help them. So that's a red flag right there too. She has to force her way into the house because it's so
packed full of crap.
Yeah. And then when she gets in, there's the smell and there's children covered in their own excrement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for her for calling the police. It was soon discovered that there were at least 2 neglected children, if not more, at this home. So police obviously began investigating, and what they discovered was pretty disgusting and why this home is called the Blackstone House of Horrors. Because what I just told you is nothing compared to what they find.
So, again, last chance. Bail out now or you're with us the rest of the ride.
They found a dead baby inside of a backpack.
A backpack.
The placenta and umbilical cord were still attached to the baby.
Jesus.
This baby was found in a closet, but there were skeletal remains of another baby found as well.
In the same closet?
Same house.
Oh,
they
okay.
Just they the didn't say house. Where. But
oh, okay, gotcha.
Upon finishing the search, authorities found a total of 3 dead babies.
God.
Erica Murphy was charged with 2 of the 3 babies' deaths. And they charged her with 2nd-degree murder. Her boyfriend was also charged. I think ultimately he ended up being charged with child abuse, but he claimed he was not aware of the 2 neglected children, the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old.
What?
Because he's
I'm assuming he was going over there if they were dating.
He was living there.
Yeah. How are you living there and not aware? I mean, from everything you've described, there's shit everywhere, figuratively and literally.
Yes.
I mean, so the only way that I could see this being even possibly true is if he literally never saw either of them. But how would you never hear a baby cry? And how would you never see a 5-year-old run in the room?
So what he said was that he spent the majority of his time in the basement. He wasn't up with the family. He stayed in the basement. And he didn't say he'd never seen the kids. According to him, Erica Murphy told him that she was babysitting the 3-year-old.
All right, that's plausible. Any normal person would walk in that house and be like, who would the fuck would let you babysit kids and the fuck?
Why am I still with you?
Gross. Yeah, right. I mean, was there drug abuse in this case? Were they like druggies or were they just didn't give a fuck?
I think they just didn't.
That's fucked off. Fuck. Anyway, continue.
Raymond also went on to claim that Erica told him he had to stay in the basement.
Possible.
And so he felt like he couldn't leave the basement. There was the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old, but they also discovered a 3-month-old or 5-month-old, again, discrepancy there, that was still alive, but her head was so flat that you could tell she spent all of her time laying on her back with no attention.
So far we got 3 dead babies and 2 babies? Plus the 5-year-old, is that right?
We've got 3 dead babies. We've got the 10-year-old, the 13-year-old.
Right, I knew about them. Yeah, yeah.
And then the 5-year-old, the 3-year-old, and now a baby.
Oh, okay. So the baby that they were trying to get to stop crying was the
baby with... I'm going to assume this one.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure I was on point.
Erica also told the older 2 children that the other siblings weren't there. The other siblings were not their siblings. She told them she was babysitting them as well.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you going to just have them live there, but you babysit them? I don't know. Well, I'm sure the kid, I mean, as a kid, fine, whatever.
But. It's your mom. But how, at the same time as a kid, if you're 13 and 10 and your mom's supposedly babysitting these babies that
live in your house,
but then she relies on you
to take, yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, that's even worse. And yeah. I'm sorry, and I'm so not giving the 13-year-old shit at all. But, at 13, I'd have been I would have been like, what the fuck is going on here? This is some wacky, crazy, fucked up bullshit. But, again, I'm not going to give that kid shit because, I mean, they obviously came from a fucked up environment anyway.
Well, and, you know,
part of still kids.
Well, and part of the time, you have to remember, those 2 were going to school. So
true.
Maybe they didn't know that the kids were there during the day. Maybe they thought mom was babysitting because the younger ones were working, parents were working nights or something like that. You know what I mean?
Valid point. Yeah.
Because the older 2 were, I mean, obviously they didn't have a great upbringing, but they were born in the hospital, not in the home.
They were more loved.
Yes. There you go. That's the way to put it. So, and Jim, I'm just going to interrupt. I hope you have some more information because this is so crazy, but it was really hard to find a lot of detail. So it may end up being short, but it's so fucked up. I had to do it. Erica ended up being charged with 2 charges of murder. She was charged with 2 charges of assault on a child, 2 charges of reckless endangerment, 2 counts of cruelty to animals.
So they did have animals in the home as well. Okay.
They did, yeah. And 1 count of concealing a fetal death. So that's the 3rd one. Oh,
that makes sense. Okay, that actually makes total sense. So in other words, 2 of them were born and then died after they were alive. 1, I guess, died as either during birth or...
It's probably the one with the placenta and umbilical cord still attached.
Yes, totally makes sense. So she gave birth and it was either dead when it came out or it died during birth or I don't know. I don't know all the details, but obviously it was still a baby or a fetus as they're considering it in this case, which is why it wouldn't be a 3rd murder charge. Yeah.
Right. So... Once arrested, Erica was actually held on $1 million bond. During a bench trial, the murder charges were reduced from 2 to 1. And this was because it couldn't be proved that one of the babies was actually born alive. It looked like they might have been, but they couldn't 100% prove it. So they dropped the murder charges down to 1.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Now, Raymond was charged with 2 counts of assault on a child, 2 counts of reckless endangerment, 2 counts of cruelty to animals, and 1 charge of cultivation of marijuana.
Wow, that seems almost inconsequential in this whole entire thing, the marijuana.
I think it goes to, as fucked off as this sounds, I think it goes to show that he may have truly believed that the younger kids were kids she was babysitting. So he's getting charged with assault probably on the older 2 because of their living conditions.
Because he lives there, too.
Because he lives there, too. And the reckless endangerment, because they were left at home.
Right.
But if he didn't know, I mean, it still makes him a shitty person. But if they can't prove that he knew that those younger babies were his, then they can't hold him responsible for it.
Well, I'm, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, and I know this sounds terrible. It really does, and I absolutely hate the fact that this is about to come out of my mouth. I do, but the fact of the matter is those kids aren't his responsibility. They're not his kids. He can't make her do anything. He can't make her clean up her house. He can't make her change
No, they
her.
Are his kids. He
what?
Just didn't know.
What?
She didn't tell him.
Oh, that's a twist.
Yeah. No, she...
Oh.
The older two were his.
But he didn't know they were his?
No, he knew the older two were. Oh. He didn't know about the rest
okay,
of them.
Okay, I missed that. So they were all his kids?
I believe so. Jem, correct me wow, if I'm wrong, missed but something. That's how I read
did
it.
Did I miss something in there? Or did you say that already?
I didn't say it outright because I didn't think I needed to.
Oh, yeah. No, so. That needed to be said. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I retract my previous statement. Although, that being said, but I... Okay. So let me rephrase. So in a normal situation where you're just the boyfriend, right. He still should have called the cops or
for
done
sure, yeah.
or done something. I'm not saying it negates his responsibility in any of this at all. But what I'm saying is like in a normal situation, the boyfriend, those kids are not the boyfriend's responsibility,
right.
Even though as a man, you should step up
right.
and take some fucking action to protect kids that are in a fucked up situation. That ain't right.
Right.
But, which obviously he probably wasn't a prize either, but.
No, he definitely wasn't. Like, he was okay going down into the basement and letting his older two children live in shit.
Even though he didn't know they were his.
The younger two. But the older two were living in
but
the
I
shit.
Thought he didn't know the older two were his either.
No, I think he knew the older two were
oh,
his.
So confused. Okay, cool. Okay. So then no, yeah, fuck him then.
Yeah, I mean he's a shithead.
Sorry,
I'm just thinking that the reason like he wasn't charged with murder because I'm thinking the prosecutor was not able to prove that he didn't know that the younger kids were his. You know
gotcha.
What I'm saying?
Okay, I'm sorry. I haven't gotten that lost in a while, but yeah, okay. Sorry. So he knew that the older two were
his.
That
is my understanding,
he
yes.
didn't know that any of the other kids were his.
Right, because remember when you looked at
family... Well, yeah, fuck that guy.
Because remember when they looked at family photos, everybody was in the parents, the older two... were in the photos, but the younger ones were nowhere to be seen.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I'm slow. It's the head. It's all the bronchitis. I'll get back to normal eventually. Sorry. All right. Well, continue.
Okay. So, like I said earlier, the investigation started because of this brave little 10-year-old boy who asked his mom to help him stop a baby from crying. Like we said, they called the police. Further information said that the boy's mother said that one of the babies looked like she had been dipped in feces.
Oh,
like that's how
that's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty gross. So police, when they got there, obviously removed the remaining children from the home. And it took them about a month to come back to the house to search it, and I'm guessing
really
that, I'm guessing that's probably from trying to place the children. They were probably more worried about the living children because they hadn't
it took them a month for investigators to come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, so they hadn't found the babies yet. They literally they got there because the mother
right but CPS places
I don't know but it
baby.
Took them
police
about a month.
Don't do that like
I don't know but it took them about a month and when they did go back they had to wear hazmat suits because the condition of the home was so bad.
I believe that.
That they had to wear hazmat suits. And they discovered, like we've already kind of mentioned, that the home was discovered in feces, but also trash and dirty diapers. Some stacks were said to be at least a foot tall.
Oh, that doesn't... I mean, that is... bad, but it's not. I mean, if you've ever seen hoarders, like the shit can go to the ceiling, like,
right? But you don't normally hoard dirty diapers.
No, you don't. I mean, there's different types of hoarding behaviors. Right. I actually lived with a non-family hoarder for a minute, and I didn't really know what hoarding was at the time. I just knew that I was like, this needs to be fixed.
The show didn't exist then.
The show did not exist. I'd never heard of the term hoarder. I didn't know what it was. I was a young adult teenager at the time. Yeah. And, you know, but I was like, okay, well, we're going to clean this up because this is disgusting.
So, and I would agree with you, a foot high doesn't seem that tall, but then how many foot high stacks were there?
Oh, I'm sure there were a ton. Right. Yeah, yeah.
They also described the upstairs of the home similar to a landfill. So apparently the upstairs was
just piled with trash. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. This is when they discovered the deceased infants. Both were skeletal remains.
So they were thrown out like trash.
Still clothed in their onesies and diapers. So they're skeletons, dressed skeletons in diapers and onesies.
That's horrific.
One skeleton still had hair. Breathe.
I'm breathing. I'm breathing.
This is also when they discovered a deceased dog and cat in the home, which is where the...
Okay, that's horrible, and I hate that, but I'm less upset about that.
But that's where the animal cruelty charges came from, right? The police would then go on to say that the 3-year-old girl that had been removed from the home was so severely developmentally behind that she couldn't walk at 3.
At 3.
She couldn't feed herself at 3. She was that far behind. The counselor who very first worked with this 3-year-old said that she was socially behind as well, which that is not shocking.
No, it's not.
The counselor said that this girl would often fold herself up kind of to like close her body, like to protect herself. Almost like the fetal position.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not shocked at all. And, you know, they've done studies about, you know, babies who are held and babies who aren't held and kids who've had attention and not had attention. And a lot of them are very guarded. And so it's probably that. And, you know, I won't get into all that, but yeah, it's fucked up. I'm pissed off right now.
And that's basically what the counselor said. She said that this little girl was scared, so scared, and showed it in every way she possibly could.
Well, like, she was probably treated like shit.
But being as socially behind as she was, she probably couldn't say it. So the counselor seeing it from her...
She's communicating with her body.
Exactly, her body language. Yeah. And it was found out that this little girl was referred to as It. She didn't have a name. Her mom just called her It.
That's fucking bullshit, and I'm pissed.
Well, hopefully this will make you feel a little bit better. A year later, CPS was very excited to report that this little girl had a complete recovery after being in a foster home. She was described as being a completely different person. She was seen smiling and running. She wasn't scared. They were super impressed with the strides she made in 1 year in foster care.
That's amazing. And yes, it fucking pisses me off that, because most of the time, going into the foster system is a traumatic experience for a child. And it was the best thing that probably ever happened to this kid. And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Sorry. We say I have a potty mouth. It ain't getting, I'm not holding back today. That shit pisses me off.
So it was quite obvious to everybody that the younger children had never been out of the home. They had never seen a doctor, and they had no vaccinations. The house itself was so badly damaged that it had to be torn down.
While I'm not shocked about that, the kids that needed to be vaccinated the most in the world, because they're living in this shithole, aren't vaccinated. Mm-hmm. They're living in, I mean, I will say, I'll back up for half a second and say, their immune systems will probably be amazing for life.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, but what the fuck? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So they did tear the home down because it was so badly damaged, but even the remains had to be washed down by firefighters because of all the dust and odor that came from tearing it down. They had to wash the remains because it was like going
the off. Remains of the home.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it was going into the neighborhood and it was so bad, they had to clean up what was torn down so it wouldn't like affect other people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. During Erica's arraignment, the prosecutor said that the two deceased babies had been alive for at least a week, if not a month. Medical evidence also showed that Erica probably had 5 children in 7 years.
What?
Mm-hmm. She also admitted that her boyfriend didn't want more than the first 2 children. So she had given birth in the home in a bathtub in secret while the rest of her family slept. She also said she hid the babies after she gave birth to give them...
I knew y'all were lying. You can pick when you push that baby out.
What the fuck?
I'm kidding. Sorry. But like, seriously, like, how do you just sneak off and have a baby in a tub in the middle of the night? Like, because you can't pick.
I don't know how, like, she did.
I don't get it. I'm fucking at a loss.
But she said that she just got into the mess and didn't know how to get out of it. Those were her words. She also admitted during the bench trial that she knew her home was not a livable space and that no adults should live in those conditions, much less children who can't stand up for themselves or their own well-being. So she knew the conditions her home were in.
And yet she did nothing about it.
According to her, because her boyfriend only wanted the older 2.
You can still clean your house, bitch.
Put the babies up for adoption.
Please. Please. I am pro. I know you're adopted. We've talked about it on the show.
Well, and
if you can't take care of a baby, give it to a family who will love it and take care of it.
Well, and I don't want to get political, but if you know you're pregnant and you know you're going to have a baby and just let it die, get an abortion.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm not going to go down that path, but I get, like, what you're saying. Like, yeah.
Don't.
It's better than the fucking alternative in this case.
Yeah. Putting a baby in a diaper and a onesie and then letting it become a skeleton.
Yeah. Not like, okay. Not okay. I mean,
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Now, Erica did waive her right to a jury trial, so her sentence was determined by the judge. So Erica's attorney is actually the one that recommended the bench trial. And he did this because he believed that the facts in the case were so shocking that no jury member would be able to be objective.
I actually think he's absolutely correct.
I do too. And he wanted his client to have a fair trial, and he felt like the bench trial was the only way she would get that.
I 100% believe that he was absolutely correct and made the right decision for his client.
I absolutely do, too. Prosecutors also argued that Raymond's claim that he didn't know about the babies was impossible because he, even though he spent all of his time in the basement, he slept about 8 feet away from where the babies were. To answer your question, DNA tests proved that Raymond had fathered all 7 children.
I'm just going to go back and say, like, if we could bring back burning at the stake, this lady would be at the top of the fucking list. And I might add her boyfriend to it. I might just tie him to the pyre with, I mean, sorry.
Because I could go back to, even if for some reason you didn't know about the babies, you knew the older 2 kids were yours. How are you okay with them living in those conditions? How are you okay with their mother making them take care of babies that weren't related to them, supposedly?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely tying him up to the fucking pole with her. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you knew or didn't know, you still fucked up individual. Defense, on the other hand, argued that there was no proof of how long the babies had been alive or how they died. And the main argument was that due to the fact that the cause of death of the infants couldn't be determined, so they couldn't determine what caused the baby's death. The defense said, well, if you can't determine what caused the death, then there's no evidence of foul play.
So as much as I absolutely hate to agree with that, it's, I mean, per the law, that's fact. If you can't prove that there's foul play, then it's not, well, I go back and forth on that because it depends on how old they were. Like if it was right after they were born, like maybe they died during birth. That's mm-hmm. one thing. If they're like, you know, if you can prove that they lived for a period of time, but even then, like, were they sick? Were they? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's similar to when you don't have a body. So how do you prove murder?
And yet they do it all the fucking right. time.
They do. So,
but they use juries for that.
Well, and this is just the defense arguing that if you don't know what caused the death, you can't say it was foul play. The defense also went on to argue that Raymond and Erica's relationship was really bad and that Raymond controlled Erica. Trying to figure out how that's the case if she's the one telling him he has to stay in the basement, but...
Well, but that's his story, and it's entirely possible that she was killing these babies to not lose him, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he did something wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did. So, again, we just don't know.
Yeah. Defense also claimed that Erica suffered from some unnamed mental illness, but the prosecutor's expert disagreed with this conclusion. And the prosecutor's psychiatrist went so far as to say that Erica had never suffered from any sort of mental illness in her life. And that the defense is just pulling this out of their ass as a defense. And I mean, again, not to like sound like I'm defending her, but as a defense lawyer, I totally get why you would try to say your client had mental illness.
Well,
in this case,
and not to get into a whole legal thing, but I to an extent believe that on some level, not 100%, but on some level, the testimony of expert witnesses
mm-hmm.
is bought and paid for.
I do too, like by both sides.
Well, by both sides, absolutely, 100%. So I don't necessarily always trust it, and I think that's why. And even if you're not paying them to say specifically what you want, although what a lot of times happens is they are paid.
Oh yeah.
And
we've talked about it before.
If they're not going to give the testimony you want, then guess what? You're not going to get hired by my side. So why wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's a fucked up system in that.
It is.
But anyway.
It is. Now the neighbor, her name, I never said her name. Her name was Betty, but the neighbor who was the one that went over and discovered the house, she took the stand during the bench trial to describe what she saw, and she confirmed the trash and dirty diapers, but she went on to say that she saw dirty handprints on the wall that, according to her, were obviously made with feces, and she also saw dirty bottles that had maggots in them.
Believe it.
She went on to say that there were Oreos crushed up on the bed, like they had just left
in feces.
Well, probably, yeah. But like Erica had just crushed up some Oreos for the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old, and that was their food.
Mmm, nutritious dinner.
Shit covered Oreos.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah.
A police officer also took the stand and described how he found one of the bodies of the babies in a box in the closet.
So one was in a box, one was in a backpack.
Mm-hmm. He said after being in the home for only 15 minutes, he was covered in bugs, flying insects, and even fleas. And because of this, the health for the investigators immediately became a concern. Like, you're only in the home for 15 minutes?
And then that might explain why they had to wait
a
period of time before re-entering the home.
No, I agree 100%. It explains why they may have waited so long to go back into the home, because literally 15 minutes and you're covered in shit.
Yeah, this is not right.
So there was another witness who took the stand to describe what she saw when she went to help the children. And this is an unnamed witness, but she said that she saw slime on the dishes.
Slime?
Slime, like, ugh, it had been that God. Long since the dishes had been done.
Wow.
Trash and dirt everywhere on the floor. She said you couldn't walk anywhere without stepping on something. There were soda cans and candy wrappers everywhere. And this witness actually got an eye infection just from being in the home.
Wow.
So again, could explain why it took them so long.
Yeah.
To get back to the house. People were getting
sick.
Sick, yeah, yeah. From going in there. So the witness described how the children looked when they were brought out of the home. Obviously, their clothes were dirty and stained, most likely with feces and urine. Remember, the neighbor said it looked like one child had been dipped in urine, feces. One child had no muscle tone whatsoever. Thinking the three-year-old, that's probably why she couldn't walk. Because she never had, so she didn't have the muscles to physically support herself to walk.
Right. Well, and like, I don't want to like thrust blame on other people because they're outside of the situation. But like, take the school, for instance. These kids are coming to school, and I know they're the more loved ones, but
they've got to
smell.
Yeah, you're right. They've got
to smell like all this in the house.
There's got to be some sort of sign, you would think.
You would think so.
Because if the home smelled so bad that they had to wash the pieces of the home to protect the neighborhood. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, how did the school not notice?
I mean, I'm sure there's only so much, but still, that's just...
How did it go so far without anybody noticing? Like, the neighbor didn't know there were babies.
Well, I mean, if you don't know there's babies, you don't know there's babies. That's...
Right, and I get she didn't say anything because she knew that the 10-year-old's upbringing wasn't the greatest, but she didn't know it was
that bad.
That bad. And you don't want to overstep your boundaries, especially if you're a safe place for somebody. You don't want to.
Right. No, that's true. Yeah.
You don't want to overstep and then all of a sudden their safe place is gone.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, the 3-year-old obviously had no muscle tone. And this witness couldn't say for sure, but said that when he looked at the 3-year-old, it looked like there may have been a maggot crawling around in her ear.
Oh, what the fuck, dude? Seriously.
It's disgusting. Like, fucking get your tubes tied. Like, you should not be a mother or a father.
No, yeah, absolutely.
You don't deserve.
No, beyond anything, that is just ridiculous and unacceptable.
You don't deserve to have these babies in your life. And as
I agree with you 100%.
And you know what? The babies can be fucking frustrating. We see it every fucking day.
Oh, I love my children with all of my might. But yeah, they frustrate the hell out of me. But that's the normal order of things. But I don't do that. What the fuck?
Like, don't. I've never been one to agree with parental testing. Like, test if you should be a parent or not. But there are those
people. Is that a thing?
Ish. It's like people like this make you think. Oh, like
take a psychological test to see if you should be a parent kind of thing?
No, like, it's an ish thing. So, like, you have to take a driver's license test to drive, right? It's never been presented as a thing to do, but people who argue about parents, like,
if you have
to be 18 to do this, 19 to do this, why is there not a limit on the parental age?
I don't agree with any of that. You can continue. I don't agree with that.
Well, you never agree with anything, so.
That's not true.
And I just said I didn't agree with it. What I was trying to say was that in this case, I get that mentality. Like, this bitch should never have been a mother. That's all I was trying to say.
Sure.
If in any case, a parental test should have been warranted. Well,
right, but age doesn't necessarily dictate whether you're going to be a shitty parent
or not. No, I was just giving an example of how it works.
Well, then I'm sorry. Yeah. I misunderstood. But yeah, I was like, yeah.
No, anyway, in 2016, her defense attorney filed a motion to have the murder charges dismissed, again, based on the theory that they didn't know how the babies died. The motion was denied, but despite this, at the end of the trial, Erica was found not guilty.
What?
Of the murders of the two babies that were found in her home.
You're kidding.
She received 6 to 8 years in prison for assault and the cruelty to animal charges, and 5 years probation. She was sentenced in 2019, and at the time was likely to be given credit for time served, which meant she most likely would get out in 2020.
So she would do a year in prison? That's it?
Because she had been in jail the entire time. And she,
since when?
This happened in 2014. So she served time. And she was going to get, because she was acquitted of the murders. The only thing she was found guilty of was the animal cruelty and the abuse charges. So if you look at it like...
Taking deep breaths.
But if you look at it like that...
Taking lots of deep breaths.
If you look at it like that, her sentence would be a long one for child abuse and...
Taking a lot of deep breaths.
Animal cruelty. No, I agree with you 100%. But the judge determined that the state had not been able to provide enough evidence that Erica had actually murdered the babies. So they charged her with what they could, but innocent until proven guilty, and the state didn't their case.
I respect the law in this when it comes to, yes, you have to prove, but wow, that's fucked.
Raymond, the boyfriend, his sentence was 4.5 years plus a day. He got credit for time served, and his sentence was so low because he had no criminal record, and the court believed that he may have known about the younger three children that were alive, but they believed him that he was unaware of the deceased babies. So he got 4.5 years and a day with credit for time served.
So in other words, the entire time he was waiting for his trial basically counted and he was done.
Well, and I don't know what extent he went to trial because he wasn't held as accountable as she was. But yeah, she was acquitted of the murders. So.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying.
You have this whole fucked off situation, but. Because the state couldn't prove it, the justice system worked, because innocent until proven guilty?
Technically, yeah.
But you would think in 2014, with this amount of crap, they would have been able to find something.
We can solve 40-year-old cold cases, but we can't prove. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like it's frustrating.
I get that in court they couldn't prove it, but then hold off. Wait, don't take her to court until you have.
Well, but you can only hold somebody for so long. I mean, you can let them go and build your case. Absolutely, like, but
you don't have to charge them right away. Let them go. Build up your fucking case until you know.
Well, and they may have thought they had enough. I don't know.
But. I don't know either, but Jim, we love you, but you're kind of a butthead.
Yeah, this is a fucked up case, man.
And I'm sure there's a lot more to it.
We still love you anyway.
We do love you, but...
But, wow. Yeah, that was
Mike
that
might was murder not, me because of you.
That was no, I wouldn't murder you. You might murder me, but I wouldn't murder you. But yeah, that sure. was wow.
That's even more crazy was, wow. than the other
yeah,
dead baby way, case yeah. we've covered.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the dead baby case, but
isn't wow. it so scary how many dead baby cases there are? Ew.
Well, we've only covered two.
That's plenty.
Well, yeah, it's more more than I want to cover, but yeah, I mean,
it shows you women might be a little more crazy than men. It's okay, you can say it. I give you permission.
I think it's situational. But that being said, Jim, we appreciate you giving us the case. I mean, it was a messed up one, but it was, I mean, ultimately, from a true crime perspective, it was a good case. I fucking hate that shit.
I'm not sure I will ever go to Blackstone, Massachusetts because of this case.
Ah, the community is not responsible.
No, it's one
individual.
Not.
I'm sure right. it's a beautiful place, but yeah, that was a little rough.
Well, when women go crazy.
When women go crazy. It happens. Men go crazy too. It's not just a woman thing.
It's not, but like, I'm a woman. I'm going to say it. When women do it,
they go hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, blah.
Yeah. But that being said, we want to thank you guys for joining us yet again.
Hopefully, our trigger warnings were enough for this case. Hopefully. Join us on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for
Twitter. Don't do it.
And not TikTok. We're not there yet.
Yeah, we don't have a TikTok. And we don't have a we have a Twitter. We just don't ever use it.
We do have a YouTube. We don't use that either.
Okay, so don't join us on all the things. Join us on Facebook and Instagram. That's where we're active. So,
well, if you want to join us on the other, let us know. And we will become active on those.
Oh, yeah.
But we haven't had the response.
If we get Twitter users, then I'll start tweeting.
But yeah, we just haven't had the response there. And we would rather focus our energy where people are paying attention.
True that.
So,
but that being said, we love you guys and we will check you next time.
And Mike is pointing at the wall like you can see him, but I want you to know that we love you all.
Laters. Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcast and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.